Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the 25th installment, and I believe we're going to do the 26th one, so it might be a bit of a longer recording today. See how my voice goes. The chapters would be on the commanding nafs, which is a long chapter, which is the first one. Then there's some chapters in the 26th one, which would be turning away from the lower world, authentic repentance, refining the heart, guarding the faculties and protecting the tongue, maintaining continuous purity. Quite a bit of chapters in that one. Let's start with the invocations, and then we're on page 173. That's where we're starting today. Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا محمد رسول الله إبراهيم رسول الله موسى رسول الله عيسى رسول الله عليهم صلاة الله اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام ولك يعوذ السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذو الجلال والإكرام. Page 173. On the commanding nafs, anafs al amara. Amara. O lover, if you want to succeed, then oppose your nafs in what is not in conformity with your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Agree with your nafs in obeying him, but dispute with your nafs when they want to disobey him. Your individual self, your nafs, is your veil. Your nafs veil you from knowledge of what is created, and creation is the cover that veils you from knowing the Creator. Therefore, as long as you are with your individual self, you don't know the creation. And as long as you are with the creation, you don't know the real. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as you're with the lower world, you will not know the final world. And as long as you're with the final world, you cannot see the Lord of the final world. Know that the owner and that which is owned do not unite. The self commands to evil, and this is its nature. Therefore, struggle against the nafs in all your affairs and states, and follow what the heart demands. Don't listen to arguments from the nafs, for Allah says, and inspire the nafs both to lasciviousness and to consciousness of Allah. Quran 91:8. Dissolve the self by struggling against it. When it melts and annihilates, the self finds security within the heart. The heart finds its security within the secret, and the secret is secure within the real. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the self, the heart, secret drink from the source. When you are successful with your struggle against yourself, the self calls from within your heart saying, "Don't kill yourselves. Truly Allah is singularly merciful to you." Quran 4:29. This cry comes to the nafs from the real, but only after the self is purified of all darkness and after its evil nature has dissolved. The heart, al-qalb, is named heart because it turns toward remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and toward obedience to Him. If the self does not annihilate from disobedience and evil in this way, then don't hope to bring yourself closer to Allah. How can you remain in proximity to the King if yourself is impure and has no hope? If your nafs obey you, then advise yourself with the reminder of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "When you reach the morning, don't speak with yourself about the evening. And when you reach the evening, don't speak with yourself about the morning. For you don't know what your name will be tomorrow." You are the one who cares the most when it comes to yourself. If you lose yourself, how can you expect someone else to care better than you? Therefore, care about your nafs. Know that hope alone will cause you to lose your chance. Struggle with hima, reduce hope, increase your attentive care and good deeds. Remember death and be vigilant of the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek healing in the breath of the truthful believers, in their words and pure remembrance. Heal yourself in the day, in the night, from all darkness. Inform your soul about what it has gained for itself and about what it has acquired against itself. No one can lend you their actions, therefore you must act and strive. Your true friend is the one who forbids you to embrace that which Allah has prohibited, and your true enemy is the one who confuses you and leads you astray. I want to see you with the Creator, not with the creation. And I want to see you giving your soul its due right and giving the creation its due right. You do not give the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his due rights, but you associate partners with him in regard to the gifts he has given you, and you do not thank him, and you do not worship him. If you really know that he is your creator, why do you not worship him? Surrendering to his demands and avoiding his prohibitions, and be patient in enduring his afflictions. Struggle against your nafs until you are guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Those who strive for us, we shall surely guide them to our ways." Quran 29:69. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, also says, If you help in the cause of Allah, He will help you and make firm your feet. 147:7. Do not feed your nafs or give your nafs a license to reign. And when your lower self has some success, don't smile in its face, but answer the nafs word by word until you are disciplined, convinced, and feel secure. If the nafs asks you about desire and about the pleasures of the lower world, delay those desires and postpone their fulfillment, because the self is fulfilled at an appointed time. The nafs suffer from the delay of fulfillment until fulfillment arrives. But be patient, for only then will Allah be with your nafs and fulfill your desire. As He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, seek help in steadfast patience. Truly, Allah is with the patient. 2:153. Don't accept any speech from the self, because the nafs incite to evil. If you answer your nafs, oppose them, because by opposing them, you rectify them. O you who claim to follow the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are still stopping with your lower self, your claim is a lie. There's no unity between the lower self and the real in this world or in the next. Therefore, whoever stops with his lower self loses his chance with the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever stops with the lower world loses his chance for the final world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves his lower world harms his final world, and whoever loves his final world harms his lower world. Therefore, be patient, because when annihilation comes to you, contentment will come to you. Then your nafs will be patient with you, thankful, and distance will become proximity. Unbelief becomes a cause for belief in one God, and you no longer experience any harm or benefit from the creation. Nothing appears harmful, because all doors unite as one door, and all directions as one direction. And you see only that direction which is realized by one in every million people. Detach from your nafs, O lover. Strive to die between the hands of the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, before your soul leaves your body. Die before you die. Die by being patient and by opposing your nafs, because the praiseworthy self exists after annihilation. I have been patient and I have seen the praiseworthy consequences of patience. I died, and He resurrected me and then caused me to die again. I became absent. Then He brought me into existence from my absence. I was annihilated while I was with Him, and I ruled with Him. I struggled with myself until I left my will to choose, and destiny became my leader. Death supports me and action moves me. Fear protects me and will suffice me. And what precedes me advances me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises me. Woe to you if you escape me. I am your charger who keeps your energy with me. If not for me, you'd be ruined. O ignorant one, make your pilgrimage first to me, and then go to the house to perform the ritual of pilgrimage. I am the gate to the Kaaba. Come to me. I would teach you how to perform the pilgrimage. I would teach you the words by which you can speak to the Lord of the Kaaba. When your earth is polished, you will see. Sit and seek protection in me, for I have been given the power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Allah demand what I demand of you and prohibit what I prohibit you. They give sincere advice and return the trust. Acquire knowledge in the house of wisdom until you arrive at the house of power. The lower world is the house of wisdom, and the final world is the house of power. Wisdom has tools, means, and causes, but power needs none of those things because power is the action of the real. In this way, the house of power is distinguished from the house of wisdom. In the final world, the formation of the state of being occurs without cause. The limbs speak, testify against people concerning what they did while disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, all secrets are revealed and all that is hidden manifests whether you like it or not. No one enters the fire except those whose hearts are cold and against whom there is evidence. Read your record. Compare it to the way, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then repent from your sins. Thank Allah for his blessings and erase your record of disobedience by repentance. O lover, you have repented by my hand and through my company, and if you do not accept what I say to you, then your repentance will not be of benefit to you. Because you have desired the picture and not the meaning. Whoever wants to accompany me, let him accept what I say and act accordingly. Let him turn as I did. Otherwise, he should not accompany me because he will lose more than what he will gain. I burn and I have a goal, and no one can consume me. I am an open door, but no one can enter. Why should I need you? How many times have I given you advice and you have not listened to my advice? I want you, but not for myself. I do not fear you, and I do not put hope, my hope in you. I do not distinguish between destruction and construction, between surviving and dying, between rich and poor, between the ruler and the servant. The whole matter is not in your hand, but is in the hand of Allah. I have removed love of the lower world from my heart, and this is how I have arrived at where I have arrived. So how can you arrive at where I have arrived while within your heart you love the lower world? Have you not heard the prophets saying the love of the lower world is the main cause of every sin? As long as you are a beginner on the path, still preparing and traveling toward Allah, then the love of the world will be the main cause of your sins. If the secret of your heart arrives at the real subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will let you love only your share of the lower world. And you will not want to have a share of anything else. And he will make you love your share because it is what actualizes and completes you in accordance with his precedent knowledge of you. Therefore, you will be content with your share and will not look toward anything else. Your heart will be firmly established between his hands, turning in the lower world as the turning of the inhabitants of the garden in the garden. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites you with your beloved, Because your will is his will and your choice is his choice. You turn with his decree, detaching your heart from everything except him. At that time, you let go of both this world and the next. And you receive your share of love for it by him, not by you. In contrast, the unbeliever, who loves his own doing, continues to fast during the day, to establish night vigils, to worry about what he eats and what he wears, because his darkness is inward and outward, and his heart does not advance an iota toward his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the secret of the one who is sincere is in accord with his outer appearance, and he will be among the truthful believers, the righteous, the pious, and the saints who arrive at the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, this worshiper will be known by the elite among people, and tomorrow, even ordinary people will acknowledge him. The elite see how he attracts their hearts, and they conceal him with godly concealment. Do not compete with a Gnostic with your hypocrisy. For your speech is nothing but vain talk. Cease speaking and renew your surrender. Actualize yourself by repenting within your heart. Leave the house of your habits, the desires of your lower self and your separate existence, and do not care about what benefits or harms the nafs. Do not speak until you depart from yourself by abandoning your nafs, your lower desires, your habits at the door. Then leave your heart in the vestibule, your secret in the chamber of the king, and hasten to establish a foundation. For only then can the building be quickly established. The water of the foundation of the building is to comprehend the religion. This is an understanding of the heart and not a claim of the tongue. The understanding of the heart brings you closer to the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the claim of the tongue brings you closer to the creation and its leaders. The understanding of the heart leaves you in the middle of the assembly of the near, in proximity to the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings you to the front, raises you so that your steps come closer to your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woe to you! You waste your time pursuing knowledge and do not act in accordance to that knowledge. You persist in walking in ignorance with madness. You serve the enemies of the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and associate them with him. And he is not in need of any associates. He does not accept any associate share of your deeds. You are a servant of your time, and you are in his hand. If you want to succeed, then leave the reign of your heart in the hand of the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely on him with a true reliance. Serve him outwardly and inwardly. Do not reproach him for your carelessness. He knows better than you what will benefit you. He knows and you don't know. So be silent between his hands. Stop and close your eyes. Listen till he gives you permission to speak. And speak by him, and your speech will be a healing for the diseases of hearts, cure for the secrets, and a glowing light that illuminates the intellects. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the final world, and protect us from the suffering of the fire. Quran 2201. Next chapter is entitled Turning Away from the Lower World. Know that in the beginning of the path, there's a strong urge or a calling that is cast or inspired within the heart of the slave. This stirs him and will activate him and encourage him to turn to Allah and to the final world, and to turn away from the lower world and everything that keeps ordinary people busy, such as accumulating wealth and enjoying pleasures and taking pride in ornaments. This motivation is one of Allah's hidden soldiers. It's a glance at His special care and a sign of His guidance. Allah opens the way for the slave with the inspiration of fear and yearning, as well as by appealing to him. And He also opens the door with His gaze at the people of Allah. Sometimes an opening happens without a cause. However, exposing yourself to the experience of a glance from Allah is recommended and necessary. To wait or pause and to not open yourself to the glance is foolishness, because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Indeed, your Lord has glimpses in the day of your time, so open yourselves to them." We should wait for it and look for it. Not exposing oneself and waiting by the door is foolishness and absurdity. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, your Lord has whiffs that come at different times, so expose yourselves to it." Whoever is honored with this noble motivation, let him know his lofty value, and let him know that it is one of the greatest gifts that Allah bestows upon anyone. One can never give enough gratitude and appreciation for this gift, so let him continuously thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he receives this gift and understands the value of being specifically chosen from among his peers and comrades. Many believers have attained old age without finding this motivation and without receiving these glimpses during their lives. Let the follower strive to strengthen this urge. Let him keep it alive, respond to it. Remembrance of Allah accompanying the people of Allah, reflection strengthens this urge. Avoiding the gatherings of the veiled and turning away from the whispers of the shaitan can keep this motivation alive. To respond to the motivation, one must return to Allah wholeheartedly. Be sincere in turning to Him. The follower should not procrastinate, not delay or slow his following. He must not postpone the chance when it appears to him. If the door is open to him, let him enter. If the caller calls him, let him hasten to respond to the call. Be warned about waiting for tomorrow or after tomorrow because of the action of the shaitan. Let him take the chance without delay, without excuses such as having no time or not being worthy. Abu Rabi'a, may Allah bestow his mercy upon him, said, "Walk toward Allah broken and limping, and do not wait for health. Because waiting is inaction. Also, Ibn Attilah radiallahu anhu said in his book Kitab al-Hakam, excusing your inaction by claiming a lack of time is a transgression of your soul. Next chapter is called Authentic Repentance. The first step the follower on the path to Allah should begin with is true repentance. He must return to Allah and repent from all sins. He must also repent to the people who he has offended, and if possible, he must return what is rightfully theirs. Otherwise, he must ask them to excuse him, because whoever is still in debt to others cannot walk toward the real. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The condition of sincere repentance is to regret committing the sin and to be sincerely determined not to commit it again all of one's life. Whoever insincerely repents from a sin and continues to commit it, or is determined not to stop, is in fact not repentant. Let the follower always be in a state of acknowledging his shortcoming, in actualizing what is obligatory upon him regarding the rights of Allah. When he feels sorrow for his shortcomings and is brokenhearted, let him know that Allah is with him, because he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, I am with those whose hearts are broken for my sake. The follower must be warned against committing even the smallest of sins. His determination against small sins must be equal to his determination against major sins. Let his fear when committing a sin be greater than his fear of eating deadly poisons. This is because disobedience acts within the heart as a poison acts within the body. The heart is more precious to the believer than his body, because it's his treasure and his palace, which he should protect and build. The body is subject to disease, and it is soon corrupted by death. But there is really nothing lost when it perishes, except its departure from this lower world of struggle and hardship. But if the heart is corrupted, then its final world is corrupted, because no one escapes the wrath of Allah or gains his contentment and reward unless he comes to him wholeheartedly. Refining the heart. The follower must strive to protect his heart from evil whisperings, bad thoughts, and blemishes. Let him maintain a veil of watchfulness, muraqabah, at the door of his heart that prevents these impurities from entering it, because when they live there and corrupt the heart, it becomes more and more difficult to remove them. Let him be vigilant in refining his heart, which is the locus of his Lord's sight. Let him protect his heart from inclining to the lust of this world. Let him protect his heart from envy and from anger and deception against anyone. Let him avoid thinking badly of others, but rather be a counsel to them and have mercy toward them, believing in their goodness. Let him love for them the goodness he loves for himself, and hate for them the evil he hates for himself. Oh, follower, know that the heart's rebellion is the most ugly and unworthy quality, and is worse than the disobedience of the limbs. Knowledge and divine love do not enter the heart until it is free from rebellion. And the worst of the qualities of a rebellious heart are arrogance, hypocrisy, and envy. Arrogance is a sign of foolishness, and it's the highest state of ignorance, because arrogance is not befitting one who knows that he is created from an insignificant gamut and that he will soon be a rotten corpse. If a person has good manners and some beautiful qualities, he has received them from the favor of Allah, because by himself he has no power nor strength to gain these qualities. He should be ashamed of showing any arrogance to the creatures of Allah because of the favors that Allah has bestowed on him. And Allah is capable of taking back his favors because of his impolite manners. He must not compete with the qualities of his Lord. And indeed, only Allah, the subduer, al-Jabbar, and the glorious al-Mutakabir, has the right to show his glory. Regarding hypocrisy, it's a sign that the heart has no vision and cannot see the greatness and supremacy of Allah. The hypocrite beautifies himself and cares about his appearance in front of people. He's not satisfied to follow the true knowledge of the Lord of the worlds. Whoever acts righteously in order to be known as good and to be praised by others is ignorant. And he is a hypocrite and one who deserves the lower world. The true ascetic turns away from the praise and glorification of people. The hypocrite follows the lower world by acting the actions of the final world. Who is more ignorant than him? If a person is not willing to give up the pleasures of this world, let him ask its true owner for them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything. The hearts of all the people are between his hands, and he turns toward the one who turns to him. Regarding envy, its outer sign is hostility toward Allah and enmity concerning his dominion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows gifts upon his people. And without doubt, he is the one who wills how to distribute them. And no one can force his will against his will. If the slave desires something against the will of his guardian protector, then he manifests impoliteness which demands discipline. Envy is usually connected to the affairs of this world, such as fame and wealth, and these things are insignificant. And on the contrary, you should feel mercy toward those who are afflicted by these things, and should thank Allah that he saves you from this trial. But envy can also be towards matters that concern the final world, such as knowledge and virtue. However, it's very ugly of the follower on the path to Allah to envy someone who accompanies and helps him on the way. The follower should love everyone inwardly, strive outwardly to unite people in the way of Allah, and busy himself with observing his own obedience, without paying attention to who is better than the other, because this is the provision of Allah, which He distributes as He wills and gives His special gifts to whomever He wills. The heart may contain many blameworthy qualities, but in order to be brief, we've not mentioned them all. However, we have pointed to the major ones, and these are the origin of all the blameworthy qualities, planting the seeds of passion in this world. Passion for the lower world is the main cause of all wrongdoing, as we have explained. And if the heart is safe from these blameworthy qualities and purified, it becomes enlightened and good and ready to receive illuminating inspirations, and it becomes receptive to the unveiling of the secrets. The next chapter is called Guarding the Faculties and Protecting the Tongue. The follower must strive to guard his faculties from sin and disobedience. He must not use his senses nor his limbs except in obedience to Allah, and must not use them for anything except for that which will be of benefit to him in the final world. Let him pay extra attention to protecting his tongue, because this small organ can commit great sin. Let the follower guard his tongue against lying and backbiting and prohibited speech, especially offensive words and vain talk. Although vain talk may not be prohibited, it hardens the heart and is a waste of time. The follower should use his tongue for reciting the Quran, remembering Allah, advising a believer, and for demanding what is known to common sense, and prohibiting what is evil. In summary, the follower must use his tongue to fulfill the needs in this world that help him achieve his goal in the final world. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "All of the speech of the child of Adam is against him, except the words by which he remembers Allah, where he demands what is known to common sense and prohibits what is prohibited by common sense." Know that seeing and hearing are two doors to the heart. Everything that enters these doors dwells in the heart, and the traces of their effects are difficult to remove. The heart is easily affected by what dwells in it, so that if the heart is affected by something, the removal of this effect is difficult. So let the follower be careful about protecting his hearing and his sight, and in protecting all of his senses from sin and curiosity. Let the follower be warned about looking passionately at the pleasures of this world. Its outward appearance is mesmerizing, and its inner quality is an illusion. But the eyes look at its mesmerizing appearance, and the heart looks at its illusion. Many followers have looked at the ornaments of the world, and their hearts have inclined toward loving it, and they turn to pursuing it. O follower, lower your eyes from the sight of forbidden things and restrain yourself from desire and rise above creation. You should not think that you are the only one who walks on the earth, and at the same time, you should not waste your time trying to own things. You should see creation only as illusion. This means that when you look at any beautiful creature, you have to annihilate the self and see them as non-existent. Remind yourself that they will be gone, you will be gone, And Allah will inherit the land and all that is on it. If you must look at what exists, look at it as proving the power of the One who brought you into existence, and who, subhanahu wa ta'ala, originated it from nothing. All creatures testify to his power by the tongue of their state. And only those people with enlightened hearts can hear their sounds, because they witness with the light of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no deity except Allah, the Almighty, Al-Aziz, and the Wise, Al-Hakim. This final chapter is entitled Maintain Continuous Purity. The follower must maintain his purity, tahara. This means that whenever his action takes him out of the state of ablution, he must renew his ablution and pray two cycles of prayer. If he sleeps with his wife and has sexual intercourse, he must shower, as in perform ghusl, without delay. Also, he should reduce the amount of food he eats in order to maintain his state of purity, because the one who eats a lot passes more wind, making it more difficult for him to maintain his ablution than he who eats only a little. Also, eating less helps a person to remain up late at night for acts of worship, which help to discipline the will. Therefore, the follower must not eat unless he is hungry, and must not sleep until sleep overwhelms him. And he should not talk except when there is a need, and he should not mix with people unless there is a spiritual benefit in mixing with them. Whoever exceeds the limits in eating, his heart hardens, his limbs become heavy, lazy in performing the rites of worship. Eating excessively often leads to sleep and to excessive talking. If a follower's talk and sleep is excessive, he becomes a picture without a reality. It's narrated in a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The worst container that the child of Adam fills is his stomach. A few morsels are enough to energize his vigor. And if he must eat, then let one third of his stomach be for his food, one third for his drink, and one third for his breath." Brings us to page 187, and the next installment will be the 27th. There's four more installments, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.